J7. Number 3B.
He does that, John does that very simply and without going into big details. We just take a look then at his prologue where he shows then at the word that the divine logos, or this development of life, truth, and love. He says, in the beginning was the word. Well, Max has shown us that in the beginning was the words, was the days of creation. That would cover the first points of mind, spirit, soul, principle. And then it shows, and the word was with God. Well, the word was with God. He shows that these days are not just in a linear sense, but as we go the way and we start with the days, which is the step one to step two to step three to step four to step five to step six to step seven, that those days, like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, become numerals. You can begin blending them together through rules of blending. And the rules of blending to the numbers would be addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. So the same is true in our subject. We have the days, the steps of ascending, and we also then have, once thought has ascended up, then that becomes the numerals. They're open for infinite calculation. One, we've learned step one and step two and step three and step four and step five and step six and step seven, which identifies us with mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Then we can go out from mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and that restructures itself constantly in our experience. Those are the numerals, which gives us a new experience. And the word was God. And it was the synonyms that we then, through the days and the numerals in blending, we finally can go out from a consciousness of the synonymous terms themselves. And then that little point, and all together they are working, where he says, and the same was in the beginning with God. Now I just want to leave that teaching of John, of course, to Kapler in the summer schools, but just I wanted to show that within this infinite self-containment, John is saying, yes, there is a way to reach this goal of the vision of St. John in that realm of love, and it's an ascending way, and each one must go that way. So in the subject, if it's taught just only always, what is reality, without helping us how to become one with that reality, it's missing the mark. That's the two translations. The first, what is reality, remember? And the second, how do I become one with it? They both go together. That's why I'm saying whenever we go to classes and somebody says something to us, say, and so what? And what does that have to do with me and the universe, including man, in practice? It's always a good word to say back. Now, what we see then is that this demands, this new educational process, the second half now we're on, how do I become one with being? It demands a new language in order to become one with being. Now it's because it's educating us in the spiritual science. We can't use the language of the physical world because it explains physical concepts as being physical. And we can't use the language of the mental because it explains concepts from a psychological standpoint. We have to have concepts explained from the spiritual standpoint. And so therefore it demanded a new language in order to teach spiritual values. That's why Jesus' prophecy before he left in his ascension, he says, and they shall speak with new tongues, he says in Mark. And Mrs. Eddy says in the textbook, she calls the new language God's essential language. And in the textbook, she calls it the pure language of spirit. We have to have it to learn spiritual values. She says on page 117 in the textbook, ear hath not heard, nor hath lips spoken the pure language of spirit. Now, just thinking about language for a minute, because we always want to know that Christian Science is academics of the right sort. In Kapler's book on the seven synonyms for God, he brings up this issue of language in the new language, and just shows naturally, as we learn just in our own school, that language is a tool for the expression of a message, isn't it? It's just a way of expressing some message. We talk. We want to get our point across, so we use talking, don't we? So language is a tool for formulating a message, for conveying a message, for the purpose that the message's meaning can be received and understood. The various elements of language are words and symbols. There's the big word I want to pick out right now. Of course, signs, metaphors, similes, allegories. Let's look at that word symbol. Words or symbols are not the message, but channels for transmitting the meaning of the message. So symbols are just channels for getting the message across. Symbols are not identical with the content of the message. They're just the way you get it across. They're neutral. Now, but function instead as channel for reasoning and the communication of content. Combining symbols enables us to communicate thoughts of greater complexity. We must master the rules which govern how symbols are combined, or else the message is totally confused. It becomes static. You know how we get static? It's we're just not decoding the message. If we could decode the message, the static would turn into some kind of a message. To master the coordination then of reality through symbols and through the rules for transmitting the message. So we're dealing here with reality, which is content, and symbols for conveying the meaning of reality. So symbols and reality are two things here. The symbols are just the way we're going to get across the message of reality. But the goal is to go through symbols and past symbols into reality itself and not get hung up on the symbols. And the point in this subject, having been in it now for about 30 years, starting way back when I was very young, in the 60s with the Kapler-Dorley work, I could see along the way where those who got hung up with the symbols and wanted to just talk about every way you can see mind in the world and spirit in the world and soul in the world and principle of the world, just talking what reality is according to the symbols, it just become what we could call symbol freaks. It's everything you wanted to know about the symbols and how they represent reality, and were afraid to ask. The goal is not to think about symbols for the rest of our lives. The goal is to get past symbols, through symbols, into reality itself. The goal is reality. That the structure of reality and the structure of our consciousness are one and the same thing. The thing is, we want to drop the symbols for reality. And that's what Mrs. Eddy says. As we rise, the symbols disappear. Like Dorley will say, a musician learns his notes and all the structure of music till he's finally in the realm of music itself. Or the artist, through all its symbols, learns all the method of doing the work of art till finally he's in the realm of doing the art itself. So a Christian Scientist, through all the symbols, learns what reality is till finally he is mind, is spirit, is soul, is principle, is life, is truth, is love in operation, and you drop the symbols for being. Those symbols. The symbols were just there to let our structure of consciousness and the structure of reality become one and the same thing. Now, the thing about symbols is that to be effective, they have to then illustrate reality, but they have to be adapted to where the person is at a certain time. Now, if we take a look at the Bible, all those biblical people had to be talking to the thought of the age. And in the Old Testament, my goodness, they were out working with the sheep, and they were concerned with nature. So in order to get across spiritual reality, the biblical writers had to talk in the symbols of nature. They had to talk in the symbol of light, like the first day of creation, the symbol of firmament of the second day, of water and dry land of the coming together the third day. They had to talk in terms of the symbols of sun, moon, stars, birth, earth, animals in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh day of peace. See, they had to use those natural symbols to talk about spiritual reality. In the New Testament, in John talks about angels, dragons, horses, mountains, trees, flowers, all to get across a spiritual realm. But today we use more of the abstract symbols of science and art and music in the world. And Mrs. Eddy said that spiritual teachings is always by symbols. Well, this is right, and she then went in to teach by symbols. But as we go on, we'll see reasoning in symbols is what we all do. In mathematics, its quantities or functions are symbolized by letters or signs. If we're a beginner in mathematics, we look at a book on higher mathematics, and it looks like Greek to us. I mean, we look at Einstein's equation of E equals mc squared, and we just, what does it mean? We need to know what its meaning is. Of course, if we read a book like Lincoln Barnett, it means that energy equals mass and mass equals energy. But just looking at the symbols of E equals mc squared, it's empty until the content is defined. They're just symbols for reality. Or in music, we see that sounds are symbolized by notes and other signs. Yet if we looked in music at, let's say, a score of one of Beethoven's ninth symphonies, it would be like Greek to us, wouldn't it? For example, here I just show on the overhead projector a score from Mozart's overture to Don Giovanni, the fast section. Well, I mean, to us not schooled in music, these are then symbols for sounds, which are symbolized by these notes. And to a beginner, it's just not understandable to us. But to one schooled in music, one begins to see, oh yes, it's divided into different sections. We can see there it's divided into the exposition, and then into the development, and then into the recapitulation. There's three big sections here. And then you say, oh yes, and then there's an area for the strings, and then for the winds, and then for the flutes, and then for the violins. And here you should get louder, and here you should get quieter, and now you should just, all of the instruments work together. To one trained in music, they could read what's behind these symbols. But just looking at it, it doesn't make any sense to the beginner. And the same is true in art. If we looked then at a painting, as I've shown here, a watercolor by Vasily Kandinsky, in art, it's just that concepts are symbolized by line, values, and color. So to Kandinsky, this is very meaningful. He's getting across some concept. But to us, it's very perplexing. It just looks like a bunch of lines thrown together. But he wants to get across the concept maybe of infinite progression of life, let's say. He was working a lot with the spiritual concept in art. So we see then that quite naturally, our whole world is just filled with symbols. Symbols that come, if we look in the dictionary, We can just see every day, everywhere we go, there are symbols for astronomy, biology, business, chemistry. As we see, music, flowcharts, mathematics, physics. Every subject teaches by symbols. Therefore, when we look at the structure of St. John, page 30 in Max Kepler's epistles, epitomes, excuse me, for the structure of St. John as he handed out this summer, we shouldn't be taken back when on page 30, where he shows, as I said, the structure of St. John according to the fourfold calculus of the one being, according to the science order of first the word of life and soul, as seen from the standpoint of truth and love, with a text following life as soul in truth, impelling life as soul as mind, spirit, soul, or love behind principle life, truth, and love of the word, or in the Christ where he's showing that truth and love is behind truth and spirit, first seen from the standpoint of truth in a 4x4 matrix, or love in the calculus, or the subject of Christianity of love as mind, or the subject of science from the standpoint of principle, all through shown through these capitalized terms, we shouldn't stand back and say, well, what's the use? This is just intellectual. I don't want anything to do with this subject. These are the people who put God in little boxes. This is what we hear. This is the criticism. Not at all. If anyone is just thinking at all, every subject is taught through symbols. These happen to be the symbols that are used to teach the subject of God. So if we see then and look at the model of being, that is what's that was the vision of St. John of the 7,000-year period of this whole model of being in its self-operation through symbols. But as we take apart that model of being, it becomes very understandable. You see, we have already seen last year together that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, Mrs. Eddy shows, defines the nature of God. What God is in its nature as the intelligent mind, as purity of spirit, as the spiritual understanding of soul, as the spiritual power of principle, as the love of life, as the health of its structure of truth, and as the plan of love. And then we saw that that nature operates in a fourfold calculus of the word of life, the Christ truth, Christianity is love, and science is a divine principle love that shows the operation of God. And the levels of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science shows how that God appears on many different levels, in different forms, yet still remains the one God. So when one begins to reason with these symbols, in a linear way in learning them, and then in a functional blending, operational way when they blend together, we get the story through these abstract symbols of the structure of reality of God. And it's therefore through the symbols that we reason with these symbols that we begin to take on the consciousness of reality. And it's these symbols that Mrs. Eddy introduced, these abstract symbols of the sciences, begin to get closer to reality. You see, she no longer used the symbols of a horse or a cow or a tree, but she took the symbols from the world, like the word mind, and she then began to show the higher meaning behind mind. This is what's important about Christian science. The term mind has to be redefined. We can't just go to a dictionary and look up the word mind and say this is what mind means in Christian science. In all the spiritual teachings, they took the symbols of the world, but they always gave them higher meaning. The light of the first day of creation to the biblical writers wasn't the light from the sun. It meant the light of mind. And the firmament to the biblical writers didn't mean the sky, which divided the waters above from the waters below. It meant spirit. So her symbols of mind have to be redefined spiritually. Her symbol of spirit certainly can't be taken in the world to mean the poltergeist, huh? The spirits. It has to be given a new, it says, taken the symbol spirit, but giving it a new meaning. And in doing that, she capitalized these terms. That's why all her terms are capitalized to say, I've taken these words out of the world of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. I don't mean what the world means by them, and so I'm going to capitalize them to tell you I've given you a new meaning, and they stand now for God. Same with word, Christ, Christianity, and science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. That's why we need to study what mind means and what spirit means and soul, principle, life, truth, and love means, because we can't take our school girl and school boy definition of them. We've got to go for a new definition, and we've got to learn the new definition. But it's fun because it's education. Education is in spiritual things according to the language of spirit, along this new symbolic language, which is based on the capitalized terms in the textbook. Now, Mrs. Eddy then gave this new language, and you find it in her textbook. And as we'll see in our exercising with the eight ordered steps, that the only place we can find how mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are defined is in the textbook, in Science and Health. And there she defines mind through its ideas, and spirit through its ideas, and soul through its ideas, and principle, life, truth, and love through its ideas. And we'll see the scientific method of it as we get to step one in the ascending way. Now, she took this language of spirit in the capitalized terms, and she did something revolutionary. She based it on the synonymy principle. Now in the world, mind isn't synonymous with spirit, or spirit isn't synonymous with soul, or soul isn't synonymous with principle. But in her language of spirit, to get across spiritual teachings, those terms are synonymous. That's why she calls them, these are the synonymous terms for God. So she gave these capitalized terms based on the synonymy principle, which makes it possible to define God through 2 points in reasoning with synonyms. In defining synonymous terms, she showed, I'm just taking the meaning what synonymous means. And again, we'll see this, but she shows that in general that taking that meaning of synonymous, it means these symbols are synonymous because they all refer to the one God, and synonymous terms are always equal because they refer to the same thing. But within the definition of synonymous is also the possibility that they differ. And that isn't always seen in looking up the definition of synonymous. Because synonymous terms in one way are interchangeable, but in another way, under the definition, they're not interchangeable. Otherwise, we wouldn't have different words. We'd just have one word if they're all synonymous. But they're interchangeable, but within certain areas, they're not interchangeable. And so based on the synonymy principle, all these capitalized terms are synonymous in as far as they all refer to God, the indivisible whole. But they differ insofar as they're accentuating a different aspect of God. Mind is accentuating the intelligent aspect of God. Spirit, the lawful order of God. Soul, the identity of God. Principle, the demonstrating power of God. You see, so each of these symbols show a different aspect of God. And yet they all are talking about God. So we can study the symbols, first of all, in their linear way. We learn what mind is through its ideas, spirit through its ideas, soul, principle, life, truth, and love through its ideas. And then we see how they blend, how they all refer to God. And that's the subject of working with these synonymous terms. It's always according to the synonymy principle, how they differ and yet how they blend. And when they blend, they give us that beautiful symphonic structure of being.